All right, we're in week two of a series called Legacy. And legacy is living a life that outlives your life. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Let me just give a couple announcements. This Wednesday is our annual business meeting, easily the most exciting event of the entire year. And your worship guide says 7 o'clock. We're going to bump it forward to 6. Everybody say 6. And so that's going to be this Wednesday night. And then this Tuesday, we're having a group that begins for business leaders and team leaders. So if you're a business leader, join us at 7:30 a.m. for a group called Insight to Freedom. It's going to be awesome. Now, last week, we started this series with this verse, and it's a very encouraging verse, so I want to revisit it again, that people are destined to die once. And after that, to face judgment. Great news. A teacher asked her children in her Sunday school class, you know, if I sold my house and my car and I had a big garage sale and I gave all the money to the church, would I get into heaven? The children all answered, no. The teacher said, if I cleaned the church every day, mowed the yard, and kept everything neat and tidy, would I then get into heaven? And the answer again was, no. She continued, then, how can I get into heaven? In the back of the room, a 5-year-old boy shouted, you got to be dead. So I'm trying to turn this verse into good news, you know, for everybody, because the Bible says you're going to be dead. Aren't you glad you came to church today? And then after that, there is judgment. Let me review real quickly. We talked last week about two different judgments. There's the great white throne judgment, where every single person who's ever lived is going to stand before the Lord and give an account of their lives. And at that judgment, there's only going to be one question. I gave you the question and the answer to the test last week. The question is, what did you do with my son, Jesus? And the right answer will be, I know him personally. I surrendered my heart and life to Jesus Christ. This is a grace judgment. It's not a works judgment. And so, because the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that it is by grace you are saved, through faith. It's the gift of God, not by works, not by being a good person, not by giving money, not by anything else, but it's not by works lest any man should boast. How are we saved? We are saved because of grace. So there's a day when everybody who's ever lived is going to stand before God for this judgment, and it's a big deal. Now, the second judgment that we talked about is the Bema judgment, also called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this judgment is not for everybody. This judgment is just for those who are believers, those who are followers of Jesus. And Paul described it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody gets a pass on that day. We all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what we have done. Let me come back to this in a minute. You know, you say, Pastor, why are you talking about these judgment days? Because it's amazing to me the number of people who don't know about this, who don't know anything about it. Last week, there was a super strong response to this message. People were stopping me at the door and saying, Pastor, that's the best message I've ever heard. Many of them said, it's the most important message I've ever heard. And I agree with you. Because if this is the most important day in your life, when you're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of your life, and I'm trying to help you. Remember, my goal is for you to be able to look back at me on that day and wink and me say, you're welcome. All right? I want you to be prepared for this day. There are Christians who have been going to church for years and years and years who don't have any idea that there's going to be a judgment and that there's going to be rewards. And those rewards are going to last for eternity. How many are with me here today? So I want to dive deeper today into this judgment seat of Christ because we're talking about legacy. A legacy life is a life that outlives your life. And so here's another verse about the judgment seat in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's what Paul says. No one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that's another way of saying that the only hope for salvation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using good and gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it to light. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of judgment. He's talking about the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says that, and I don't know how this all works, but we're all going to stand before the Lord one at a time. It's not going to be a group of people. It's not going to be your family. It's not going to be all y'all from Grace. Come on. No. It's going to be Bruce Richardson. Boom. Here you are. Brad Walters, come on down. Jennifer Maples, come on down, right? And everybody is going to watch you give an account for your life. You see why we should talk about this? This is a big deal. And so the Bible says that day is going to bring everything to light. This is a big gulp scripture. How many know what I'm talking about? It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will prove the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a what? A reward. We talked about this last week, apodidomai. He's going to pay us back. He's going to give us a reward. If it's burned up, he's going to suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as if through the flames. Now, again, remember, this is a works judgment. The first judgment is grace judgment. Okay, you don't get into heaven by works. You get into heaven by grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this has nothing to do with getting into heaven. Am I in the right place today? This is about, okay, I'm in heaven. Now this is about my rewards. This is about my eternity. This is about what's going to happen after that. And so the Bible says that everything, say everything, everything I've ever done is going to be on display. All of my deeds, all of my works. And the Bible says it's going to be tested by fire. Now, what's the purpose of fire? The purpose of fire is just to reveal what is real, to reveal what is lasting. Now, and after the fire is done testing all your stuff, whatever is left, hear me, is your legacy. After the fire has done to your stuff, whatever the fire is going to do to all your life, your story, whatever is left and not burned up, that's your legacy. That's your eternal legacy. So today the Bible says that there's going to be some things that we've done that, you know, in the whole scheme of things, it's not going to matter. It's just going to burn. But there are some things that are going to be eternal, and those are the things that are going to last. So today I want to talk to you about investing in eternal things that last. I want to talk to you about investing in your legacy, your eternal legacy that on that day will be revealed by fire. Am I in the right church here today? I believe Jesus was referring to this judgment when he said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Jesus is saying, listen, don't invest your whole life in things that are going to pass away. Don't invest your life in stuff here on this earth. Don't invest your life in temporary things. He says, invest your life in eternal things. Invest your time, invest your energy, invest your gifts into things that matter, into things that will last forever. Jesus is talking about an investment strategy. How many have heard of an IRA, individual retirement account? Jesus is talking about an HRA, your heavenly retirement account. Come on, somebody. You see, what Jesus is saying, that we should live our lives in such a way that on this judgment day, on this day of rewards, that you and I will have treasure in heaven. Matter of fact, he used this phrase, treasure in heaven, 5 different times in the Bible, which means this is pretty important. He says, you'll want to have treasure in heaven. Now, today, I want to talk to you about different ways that you can invest in eternity. So that on that day, when your legacy is revealed, you'll have some legacy. Am I in the right place today? Anybody want to get ready for this? Here we go. Write this down. I invest in eternity by using what I have to worship God. Remember, the question that we're going to be asked on this day on the Bema Seat is, what did you do with what I gave you? And when we invest in it, when we use what we have to worship God, we're investing in eternity. What that means is, when I take what I have, my gifts, my time, my money, my stuff, and I use that to worship God, the Bible says that's investing in eternity, and that's going to survive the fire. That's going to last. Here's what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord. And that word honor means to hold in high esteem. It's another word for worship. Honor the Lord, worship the Lord by giving him the first part of all of your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats. Now, that's a promise for the here and now. Praise God for that. But I want you to notice that the Bible says when we take what we have and we give God the first of it, the Bible says that is a form of worship. And when we give what we have to worship God, it becomes a legacy that is eternal. Don't shout me down. The highest and best use of your resources is to worship God with whatever you have. Amen. Honor God with your time. Honor God with your stuff. Honor God with your money. You see, when I give to God the first part of my income, the Bible calls that tithing. All right? The word tithe means tenth, and so I'm honoring the Lord by putting him first. You see, let me give you another verse. This, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, this is the Living Bible. The very purpose of tithing, why did God create this whole idea of people giving to God the first tenth of their income? The very purpose of it is to teach you. It's a training tool. Amen. To put God first in your lives, to worship God. Are you getting this? This is not legalism. This is not a fundraiser for the church. This, God says, listen, this is a heart issue. This is a worship issue. And the one way that you can train your heart to worship me is put me first. And the best way to do that is give me the first tenth of all that you have. Well, this is exciting stuff. You say, Pastor, well, here's what I'm trying to tell you. You can tithe out of obligation. Some people do it out of condemnation. Some people do it out of guilt. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something for you. Because on that day, all that you have given to worship God with your time, with your resources, with your money, it's going to be left there on your legacy day. And when that fire comes, it's going to survive that fire, and you're going to have a legacy that's going to last for eternity. Now, let me encourage you. What I'm trying to tell you to do is everybody should give to God the first part of their income, but do it as an act of worship. Do it with the right heart. Do it with the right attitude. I can tell you that Tracy and I are faithful tithers to God's word, not because we have to, but because we get to. I love that there's a story in the Old Testament. I love this story. God gives Israel specific instructions on how to bring the tithe to him. Well, look at this. It's a long scripture, so just pay attention if you don't mind. Deuteronomy 26, when you've entered the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in. So I brought you out of Egypt. I'm going to give you the promised land. Now when you get there, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land your God has given you and put them in a basket. And then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in the office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. And the priest is going to take that basket from your hands, and he's going to set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you're going to declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there, and he became a great nation. They were powerful and they were numerous. We read all about that in Exodus, right? But the Egyptians mistreated us. We became slaves and we were suffering, and they subjected us to harsh labor. Our life stunk, and we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice, and he saw our misery, our toil and oppression, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror and with signs and wonders, all those nasty plagues in Egypt, God brought us out. He brought us to this place, and he gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me, and place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. I want you to get this. God says, listen, the whole purpose of tithing is worship. And when you come and you bring the first to the Lord, don't come and say, oh, I got to do this. I want you to tell your story. I want you to remember your testimony. I wasn't always saved. I wasn't always serving Jesus. I wasn't always on my way to heaven. There was a day I was lost. I was destitute. I was bound for hell. But God sent somebody to me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now I've got treasure in heaven. That's worship. That's worship. This is the reason why we call it the offering. We're going to receive the offering because it's a form of worship. So let me encourage everybody, if you're not yet a faithful tither, to take the 90-day tithing challenge. Everybody should have a copy of this legacy card right here. And you say, Pastor, okay, I get it. This is what God wants. And it's about worship. It's about honoring the Lord with what I have. I want to encourage you to take the first step and take the 90-day challenge. Now, the 90-day challenge is simple. You're just saying for the next 90 days, I'm going to give God the first 10% of my income. I'm going to give it to God through this church. And so I worship with my tithe by tithing at the place I worship. It's totally free. I don't tithe to charity. I tithe to God's house. Okay, so I'm gonna put my name there and all of that. And if you'll turn this in at the end of the service at the red information tent, we're gonna give you a copy of this book, The Blessed Life by Pastor Robert Morris, an incredible read, a story about the power of generosity and the importance of worship as giving. Somebody give God praise for the privilege that we have to worship the Lord with what we have. See, when I give to God with a heart of worship and gratitude, you know what I'm doing? I'm storing up treasure in heaven. You're welcome. Number two, I invest in eternity by using what I have to bless others. Now, when I think of the word blessing, I think of words, don't you? Words of blessing. Matter of fact, when somebody prays for the food, a lot of times we call that, would somebody say the blessing. In a few minutes, we're going to dedicate some precious babies to the Lord. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray words of blessing. Now, why do we give the blessing? Can I tell you? Because words are powerful. Okay? Now, the tithing part of this message is over. Come back. Come back. All right. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I tell you on the day of judgment, which day are you talking about, Pastor? The Bema judgment. People will give account for every careless word they speak. This is another big gulp scripture. Did you know that was in there? Are you serious? Vance Murray, you're up. Heavenly tape recorder, go ahead and start playing it. Are you? Wow. Every word that we speak. Now, some of us are already convinced that every word we speak is being recorded by somebody. Those of you that have Alexa and all that stuff at your house, you are voluntarily giving them all your information. I'm just saying that. You know, Wayne Murray, Grace Assembly of God, no, whatever, you know. But the reality is, long before somebody created a smartphone, God has been taking note of everything we say. Write this down. Words aren't just powerful, they're eternal. There is no such thing as a careless word. Words matter. So, if you want to store up treasure in heaven, can I challenge you? Use your words for good. Use your words to bless other people. And when you do, you will be laying up treasure in heaven. Give a blessing. Give a compliment. Give encouragement. You see the word I'm using? Give. Give a word from the Lord. Give a word of hope. Give appreciation to somebody. Give gratitude. And see, when you use your words to bless, to help, to encourage, and to heal, you know what you're doing? You are laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So think about it. Every time you speak life, you give a word of hope, it's like this cash register going off in eternity. You're storing up treasure in heaven. Your account in heaven is growing. Your legacy is growing. But every time you complain, somebody's trying to mimic that and it didn't work. Every time you complain, every time you criticize, every time you gossip, every time you condemn or tear others down, it's like the sound they make on those game shows. We try our best around here. So this is going to be a life verse for some of you now. You ready? Study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. When I use what I have to bless others, I'm storing up treasure in heaven. Here's number three. I invest in eternity by using what I have to grow my character. Now, this is really good. God wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to pay attention to our spiritual growth. And any time that I am investing in my own spiritual growth, I'm investing in my legacy that will last forever. Where's that in the Bible? Proverbs chapter 10. The earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. God says, use what you have, use your resources to grow yourself spiritually, to improve your walk with God. Because how many know you're not taking your car to heaven? You're not taking your couch to heaven? You're not taking your condo to heaven? You're not taking your clothes to heaven, but you are taking your character. And when you invest in your walk with God to become a better person, to become more like Jesus, you are investing in eternity. How many know there's a zillion things that we could waste our money on, waste our time on, waste our resources on that do not matter? But the Bible says when I invest those things in me growing in my relationship with Christ, I'm investing in eternity. And remember this, your greatest currency is not money. Your greatest, most valuable currency is time. You can make money, but you can't make time. So when I invest time in reading the word, when I invest time in praying, when I invest time by going to my small group tonight or this week, when I invest time in allowing other people to speak into my life, and iron sharpens iron, you know what I'm doing? I am growing my character, and on that day of legacy, that's going to survive because my character is what matters. I'm preaching better than your amen in here today. I want you to be ready for that day because Proverbs 23 says, invest in truth and wisdom and discipline and good sense and don't part with them. Invest in that. Are you hearing me, parents? Are you hearing me, everybody? Invest in truth and wisdom and discipline and good sense. Those are the things that are going to last forever. And so when I use what I have to grow my character, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. Just a couple more. Write this down. I invest in eternity by using what I have to serve other people. See, God wants to take us to take what we have and to invest in other people and meeting their needs, meeting their emotional needs, their physical needs, their helping the poor, serving the sick, helping the homeless, making a difference in somebody else's life. God did not give you what you have for you. Hello. Matter of fact, on that day, everything that you use for you is going to disappear. But everything you used that God gave you, that you invest in others, your time, your gifts, your talents, your resources, and you invest those in other people, that's what's going to last on that day. That's going to still be there. Are you hearing me today? But whatever you invested in your own life, not your character, things like that, but just on your own thing, that's just going to disappear. Are you getting this here today? So God says, use what you have to serve other people. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods. Spread it around. Be a blessing to other people. Am I in the right place here today? God says, when I give time, when I give money, when I give possessions, when I give what I have to serve other people, that's going to help me on that day, Legacy Day. This is why I ask everybody to go to the Growth Track. If you haven't done Growth Track, step one begins next week. We want you to land on a dream team. Why? Because we want you to store up treasure in heaven. You're welcome. Last one. I invest in eternity by using what I have to bring others to Jesus. There's only two things that last forever: the Word of God and the souls of men. Can I say that again? There's only two things that last forever: the Word of God and the souls of men. God wants me to invest in the Word of God and the souls of men. And so God wants me, God wants to use me to share my faith. God wants to use me to give the gospel to lost people across the street, across the state, across the country, across the world. Luke chapter 16, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now watch this. The Bible is not saying use your money to buy friends. That is not what it's saying. The context is eternity. God says use your money, use your stuff to invest in eternal relationships. Use what you have so that you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Invest in getting people into heaven is what that scripture is saying. Because when you get to heaven, there's going to be a welcoming committee. I think this is how it's going to go. You're going to be welcomed by the people you helped get there. Some of you are going to be welcomed by somebody from a small village of 1 million people in China. And you invested in a family that's there. And they're preaching the gospel in very amazing ways to a group of people that have never heard the name of Jesus. And because you invested, somebody you never met, they're going to say thank you. Some family member that came to honor our heroes, and they've never before seen a church do what this church does. We say thanks. Thank you for serving. And something happened. A seed was planted in their hearts. Maybe they never come to this church, but there's a seed there, and that seed grows. And later, somebody else shares the gospel, and they give their heart, thank you for helping me get to heaven. Am I in the right place today? Amen. You see, let me ask you this question. I think the question's coming up. Is anyone going to be in heaven because of you? That's an important question. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Now listen, I want to encourage you to do a few things. I want to encourage you to pray. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a Kingdom Builder Sunday, and we're going to share with you all the different ways that we're going to invest in the gospel locally, in our own community, globally, around the world. We've got several projects that we're excited that we're going to be able to invest in, and future. Investing in people like Sarah and other people who are going to all the world and giving their lives for the kingdom of God. So I want you to begin praying now about you, about your family, about your business, and what you're going to invest in Kingdom Builders. You say, Pastor, why would I do that? Because you'll want to have a legacy. You'll want to have some things that will survive on that day. You'll want to have treasure in heaven. See, this is how I see it. And I know I'm weird, but I think about this. I mean, there are times I sit around and I think about football and I think about basketball. I think more about baseball than anything else because the Reds actually have hope this year. Can I get a witness in the house of God? I haven't talked about baseball for a long time because it's been embarrassing. But there are times I'll just sit around and think about this day. And when God calls Wayne Murray, and he has to, and I stand before God. Now listen, I have to give an account for my life, and that should cause us to have that pause. But we don't have to be afraid of that day. Can I encourage you? I'm not preaching this out of fear to you. I'm letting you know this is going to be a day of reward. And we should be living for this day. Because this life that we're living, boom, it's here, it's over. We're going to dedicate some babies in a moment. And I heard somebody say, hey, pastor, tell them don't blink. It's here and it's gone. But eternity is going to last forever. There is more to this life than this life, people. There is treasure in heaven that we got to be busy laying up in heaven. God's going to call Wayne Murray. And I think, I wonder if the Lord's going to say, is there anybody here because of Wayne? I'm going to look around. And I want to see hands going up. People from Tunisia, and people from China, and people from Kenya, and people from LA Dream Center, and people from the Refuge here in Greenwood, and my neighbors across the street. Yeah, he gave. He gave money to Kingdom Builders. He gave to missions, but he gave his time. He prayed for lost people. He prayed for hours for lost people. He had the courage to walk across the street, to invite somebody to church, to share his faith. Yeah, me, I'm here because of Wayne. That's what I want. That's what I want to live my life for. I want that to be my legacy. I'm in heaven because of you. I want to challenge you. Live your life in that way. I keep challenging everybody. Take those acts of kindness cards that we have at the exit. You know, use that. Be a blessing to somebody. Give a major tip. Pay for somebody's stuff. Give them that card. God loves you. It's a seed. It's a seed. I've challenged everybody. Take 3 Sundays out of 52. Make sure there's a lost person sitting right beside you. It may be Easter and Christmas and at the movies. It may be a regular Sunday because you know we're going to give them an altar call and give them a chance to give their hearts and lives to Jesus. It's our legacy. It's our legacy. This life, it's here and it's gone. The eternal life, your eternal legacy, that's going to last forever. Are you ready for that day? Are you living for that day? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I'm going to ask everybody in this room to take a moment to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about today's message, about my time, about my resources, about my gifts, about my money, about my life? Holy Spirit, I pray you help me to use my words to be a blessing. God, when I give to you, let my heart be right. Let it be an act of worship. God, I pray you'd help me to use what I have to serve other people. Forgive me, God, for being selfish with the gifts, the talents, the skills, the experiences that you've given me. God, I pray you'd help me. Help me to make a difference in somebody's life. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd use me so that somebody will be in heaven because of me. Lord, not just my finances. God, use me. Use my voice. Use my life, where I work, where I go to school, where I live. God, I want to have a legacy. I want to store up treasures in heaven. Heads about, eyes are closed. Many of you have heard the story of a missionary named Jim Elliot, a young man who gave his life by the very people he was trying to reach. And listen closely when I say, he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to invest in what he cannot lose. I want to say it again. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Invest your life. Invest your gifts. Invest your resources in eternal things. And Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not ready. My heart's not ready. You know, I thought in order to get to heaven, I had to do good works. I had to be a good person. I had to try to do better. And that's not the case at all. You get to heaven through the grace of God, the amazing grace of God through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came to earth and he paid the price for your sin, because the wages of sin is death. He paid the price for your sin so you don't have to. If you try to pay the price for your own sin, you're going to fall short. So your only hope is to trust Jesus Christ to save you, to accept the sacrifice that he gave for you, and then to surrender your heart and life to him. If you're here today or you're watching online and you say, Pastor, that's me, would you pray for me? I need to get my priorities right. I need to surrender my heart and life to Jesus. I do believe there is going to be an eternity. Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to make things right with God here today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many will raise a hand and say, Pastor, would you include me in that prayer when you pray in just a moment? Raise your hand real high. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Are there others? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. I see those hands. God bless you. Keep raising them. Pastor, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I see that hand up in the stadium. Are there others that will raise your hand? Pastor, would you pray for me when you pray in just a moment? I need to surrender my heart and life to Jesus. Amen. Let's all pray this together, including those who raise their hands and those who like to encourage them today. Let's pray. Dear God, come on, say it out loud. Dear God, I believe you that I was made to last forever. I want to be part of your family. I agree with you that I have sinned and fallen short, and I have no hope except for Jesus. I trust Jesus, his death and resurrection, to pay for my sin and to give me new life. From this day forward, I surrender. These are important words. Would you say it again? I surrender every part of my life to you. Holy Spirit, would you help me follow Jesus every day of my life? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for about five people? Come on, give God praise for about five people to surrender their heart and life to Jesus.